We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Mayfield will take a knee one more time. He does, and it is over in Cleveland. The Houston Texans lose to the Browns. 31-21, the Texans go to 1-1 with Carolina coming up Thursday night.
The NFL is the greatest episodic drama out there, regardless of what city you're in, for a variety of different reasons. And the Texans at 1-1 now have quite the episodic drama on their hands for this Thursday's game against the Carolina Panthers. They lose yesterday 31-21 to the Cleveland Browns, and it is a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. And man, do we have a lot of stuff to react to this morning as we welcome you in. Sean Pendergast alongside Seth Payne. And Seth, we'll get into Tyrod Taylor's injury and what that means for Thursday, what it could mean long term. I expect that we'll have some more clarity on it today as he was undergoing an MRI on his hamstring, which really kind of torpedoed the Texans' chances yesterday at winning that football game. My big takeaway out of the shoot, though, with the Texans yesterday on the postgame show, and really just big picture, and this is why I hope Tyrod Taylor is able to recover quickly.
Oh,
this team is better through two games than I think anybody thought they would be. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, they were tied at halftime yesterday with the Browns. Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. And then even in the second half with Davis Mills at quarterback, they're still hanging around in the fourth quarter of this game. And I look, this is a team that everybody thought was going to be an historically bad team. The experts did come, I say everybody, the experts all thought that the team was going to be historically bad coming into the year. They are a perfectly average NFL football team when they've got Tyrod Taylor in a quarterback. And that's my first takeaway. We'll get into Tyrod Taylor in just a second, but I was impressed with their resilience yesterday. They had a fumble early in the game that set them up in a really bad spot by Andre Roberts. Team stood in and fought, and through two games, they're 1-1, and I hope Tyrod Taylor comes back pretty soon. That's where I am at.
I do hope Tyrod Taylor comes back. You talk about, okay, hey, they were actually still in it with Davis Mills out there. I mean, if you remember, the score was 14-14 in the third quarter when the Texans' defense had forced a second and 19, and then all of a sudden decided to stop tackling. And that was when the rookie, Demetric Felton, the running back, broke at least three tackles. It felt like seven on his way to a touchdown. I think really, even despite how much like a rookie Davis Mills looked like at times, there was still some stuff going on offensively that I felt pretty good about in the second half. I think that when we talk about the Texans exceeding expectations, most of the people here, I think, through training camp, felt like, okay, look, these guys have a really good chance at the very least at it not being the worst team in the NFL. They're going to be more competitive. You could see by the way they practiced and operated that they could be functional, but I still wasn't sure if they were going to be able to make plays or not. They've delivered on, especially with Tyrod Taylor and Brandon Cooks and their connection, the offensive line's ability to pass protect, I think, better than I had feared at times. They've delivered on this ability to actually compete with good teams like the Browns. Sean, remember how meager our hopes were, or at least my hopes were, at the beginning of the season was I just wanted watchable football.
Yeah.
And you look at that game yesterday, Tyrod Taylor was 10 for 11. Baker Mayfield was 19 for 21. The Texans' run game was nothing spectacular, although on a couple of their scoring drives, Mark Ingram had some key runs. Philip Lindsay was very good on a screen play. I'll almost call that a run play because it was Philip Lindsay. And it was a really watchable football game. I don't know what's going to happen with Davis Mills versus the Carolina Panthers. This is what our listener Tom Middlestream on Twitter said. He's kind of upset that the first glimpse that the national viewing audience will see of the Texans after a promising couple of games and a couple of games that exceeded expectations might end up being super ugly, because you've got this rookie going against a marauding Panthers defense that's been lights out the first couple of games.
Yeah, look, make no mistake. If a healthy Tyrod Taylor is in that game, there's a really good chance the Texans win that game yesterday as a 13-point underdog. Like, they were standing in with the Cleveland Browns. And look, Baker Mayfield is really good. The defense probably still would have worn down at some point against the run game, but at least the Texans would have had some weapons where they could respond in an appropriate fashion to what the Browns were doing out there. Yeah, look, and if they win that game, you're talking about a Thursday night matchup this week of two of the more surprising, possibly the more surprising 2-0 teams in football. Feels weird to say this about this Carolina game, Seth, because that was one of the few games that you thought the Texans might have a chance of winning coming into the year, a home game on a short week. But now all of a sudden, the short week actually works against the Texans in some ways. It's not just Tyrod Taylor. This is a team that's really, really banged up in the wide receiving core. Justin Reed, who's been their best player defensively, or at least most impactful player defensively so far this year, he's got a knee injury of some sort. This short week that normally works in favor of the home team is probably working against the Texans right now with Carolina.
The only thing I would say is that if you're a defense preparing for a quarterback, whether it's a rookie quarterback or a veteran quarterback, you're always at a disadvantage because you just don't know what they can and cannot do. You know, Davis Mills comes in and runs the package that was designed for that week, but they'll be flying blind a little bit against Davis Mills. And you might say, well, oh no. You know, like, I'm sure the Panthers are terrified about that. It's a short week of preparation, and they're coming off an emotional high. The Panthers just took the Saints out to the woodshed. And with very little time to process that, maybe you can catch them sleeping somewhat, where they feel like, oh, okay, hey, look, we're an awesome defense. We're going to roll into Houston. We're going to take care of this rookie quarterback. And frankly, Tim Kelly is showing himself to be his own man, like an independent thinker, a guy that has kind of blossomed and flourished away from the watchful eye.
He's done a good job. Let's just put it bluntly. He's done a good job.
Yeah, yeah. So I think there's a chance for an ambush here. It would be a huge upset. Look, Davis Mills is clearly not ready to be a starting NFL quarterback, but sometimes you can fool him for a couple games and maybe in the interim learn a couple things along the way.
Texans are a 7-point underdog in this game on Thursday to the Panthers. They were a 4.5-point underdog coming into the season, and I think it would have been a much closer spread if Tyrod Taylor were healthy in this game, probably closer to a pick'em than it would be to anything else, like a coin flip type of game. I think one of the other things, so I'm just looking at the Panthers' schedule, you're right. They're coming off an emotional win over a divisional opponent who looked probably as good as any team in the league did in week one, that drubbed the Green Bay Packers. They beat New Orleans yesterday. Carolina did 26-7. One thing I'll say, they've got Dallas the following week. Maybe they catch the Texans, you know, maybe the Texans catch them in a situation where they're coming off an emotional high on one end and they're looking ahead on the other end, kind of a sandwich game sort of thing, and they're overlooking the Texans. I think that probably gives the Texans, with Davis Mills, the best chance to win this game on Thursday.
Right, and I discount a lot of that because I don't think NFL teams ride the emotional wave the same way a basketball team does, say. But on a short week, I think there is some validity to that. Yeah. It's a hard turnaround, especially when you're the away Thursday night game. The biggest questions would just be, obviously, like you already referenced, these injuries, the key players, Justin Reed specific. I mean, Justin Reed, just as Andre Roberts tried to lose that game for us early on, Justin Reed came back and exonerated him. Basically, paid the toll for all of the sins of Andre Roberts and then David Culley's curious decision to decline a penalty.
Like I said, you just hit it. There's a ton to unpack with this game. Like David Culley didn't do the team any favors with that decision you're referring to. We'll get to that. This is a team that essentially gave away 10 points on turnovers. They had two turnovers in their own territory. They gave away 7 at the beginning of the game, and then they gave away a field goal in the second half with Davis Mills throwing that pick. And I thought the team responded really, really well. This was a resilient team yesterday. I can see why they're touchdown underdogs to Carolina. They've got a rookie quarterback starting. I don't expect them to win this game now because of that. And Carolina gets after the passer better than most teams in the NFL. They've got 10 sacks through the first two games. But I'm really impressed with the resilience and the fight in this team. They're a better team than I think most people thought they would be right
now. Yeah, and
now.
We haven't even gotten to the whole Deshaun Watson dynamic here. Today's going to be a stressful day, Sean, because I can already tell in the first segment, there's like 18 things that I still wanted to talk about in the first segment that we can get to. So I just know that there's going to be a ton of texts and tweets saying, how come you guys aren't talking about blank?
Yep.
And we'll try to get to it, everybody. We'll try to get to it.
The cup overfloweth, no doubt about that. We'll get to Deshaun Watson at the bottom of the hour. I want to make sure we had a nice long segment to get into the questions that we know you are all going to be asking about Deshaun Watson today. I've got them all listed here. Seth is going to answer. I'm going to ask them. Seth's going to answer them. Yes,
ready.
Be ready, Casario/Cully. You got some questions to answer at the bottom of the hour. So we'll do that. It's a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Up next, though, one of the slivers of bad news yesterday. Could the next Texan to be traded have been foreshadowed yesterday, early in the game? That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's a Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610, brought to you by Coors Light. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you. Okay, one of the storylines coming out of the game yesterday, and I'll be honest with you, I watched the game from beginning to end. I did the pregame and the postgame yesterday. I did not notice that Zach Cunningham was not on the field in the first quarter of the game yesterday. David Culley was asked about Zach Cunningham missing the first quarter following the game. Here was that exchange.
It was disciplinary reason.
What did he do?
That's intern.
Okay, so there he goes, a 3-second exchange.
What did it's
that
internal.
That was McClain. What did he do? It was internal.
There's something going on with Zach Cunningham.
Yep.
It's obviously. You know, hey, and the last time I can think of, or at least the first one that jumped to mind when I thought of, oh, Texans defensive player missing a game for disciplinary reasons, it was Bradley Roby last year. Well, he missed an entire game. He was left home for disciplinary reasons. He found himself traded this year. And I think that a lot of people would be shocked if Zach Cunningham were traded. There have been whispers and rumors about perhaps the Texans being very open to trading Zach Cunningham.
Well, let's point out, Seth, before you go down that road, let's point out he missed the Tampa Bay game in the preseason also with personal reasons.
And then was that just personal reasons. But,
and then he was back at practice the next day. So,
right.
Yeah, so we should point that out. So this is not a first-time strange occurrence, at least, with Zach Cunningham. So,
right.
Yeah.
And they redid his contract that would make it, It's harder to trade him now than it would have been before they redid his contract.
Yeah.
But we also know that the Texans are very much focused on the future and wanting their kinds of guys in the building. So I don't know, man. Just keep your radar trained in on that whole situation.
Yeah, it would really be almost salary cap malpractice to trade Zach Cunningham. Here's the thing. Zach Cunningham is still a decent NFL player. Like, Shaq Lawson's the one, Seth, when I hear you say that, like, well, they restructured his deal and they really made it tough to trade him. Didn't stop him from trading Shaq Lawson for a 6th-round pick. They took that $7 million hickey. Zach Cunningham would be about a net cap hit of about $8 million. He's about a $5 million hit this year. The dead money would be about $13 million. And so it would be... Well, he would have to be a really disruptive force behind the scenes on this team. Because, again, realistically, Zach Cunningham, if he were being a disruptive behind the scenes at all, would not be torpedoing a Super Bowl championship or anything like that. They'd have to he'd have to really be doing some crazy stuff behind the scenes, I think, for them to trade him.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, whatever's going on behind the scenes, they benched him for the entire first quarter.
They did.
So I don't know. I mean, they feel strongly enough about it that they would theoretically harm the performance on the field for at least one quarter to try to send a message to him.
Yes.
So it wouldn't surprise me at all. Given where the Texans are right now, it's as much about creating a culture as it is about the actual cap this year. I mean, that's why they signed all those veterans and gave them, you know, respectable veteran money for guys that are blue-collar players instead of just saving as much cap space as possible. So it just wouldn't surprise me. For whatever it's worth, Texans were a hell of a lot better versus the run in the first quarter than they were for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not like oh my gosh, the Texans were awful without Zach Cunningham in there.
Well, yeah. I think the narrative around the second half of the game, I say narrative like it wasn't true. I mean, I think the average fan observing the second half yesterday would say, boy, they really wore down in the second half, and they did against the run. I mean, you look at the touchdown drive where the Browns. Scored the touchdown that eventually provided the final margin of victory, 31-21, was a 9-play, 82-yard drive, and they ran the ball five times. Nick Chubb, on two of the touchdown drives, the one at the end of the first half and the one that really sealed the game, had six carries for 83 yards. And on that the two drives that I'm talking about, the drive that tied it at 14 and then the drive that clinched the game at the end for the Broncos, made it 31-21. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt combined had 11 carries for 110 yards. They averaged 10 yards a carry. Zach Cunningham should not have been one of the guys that didn't have fresh legs out there. He should have fresh legs. He didn't. Yeah. He watched with a Gatorade cup in his hand for the whole first quarter.
that part of yesterday, and the reason you said the Broncos is because that's a Kubiak-style offense.
Yeah.
And we've seen it for years and years and years. Teams just wear down in the second half. We saw it when Kubiak was here with the Texans. There'd be so many times where you'd think, run game's not what I expected it to be. And then all of a sudden, Arian Foster goes off in the fourth quarter. That's exactly what we saw with the Texans. That's why when you're playing a team like that, the ability to sustain a drive on offense helps a lot, because you just want to preserve your team's legs as much as possible. But you are right. I mean, it would be an $11 million net. Yeah. Loss against the Cavs. I mean, the Texans would have to get creative to create space just to trade.
Yes,
Zach,
a good
Cunningham.
Way to put it.
Yeah. And if your team, so if you're trying to get a hefty ransom for him somehow, then probably not the best marketing is, oh, by the way, we just had to bench him for disciplinary reasons.
Yeah. I mean, you know, bench him, wait till after the season, whatever, but you can't do that. It's malpractice. Getting a lot of text messages here about the game yesterday. I'll answer this one first. Is Taylor confirmed out this week? Yes. Ian Rappaport reported it yesterday. Tyrod Taylor is going to undergo an MRI, or he has, and we should have more news today. That was the report from Ian Rappaport, the NFL Network. It looks like Davis Mills will get his first start on Thursday this week. We'll get into the Deshaun Watson questions in the next segment. A lot of people texting in with those. Seth, here's a good one, because we mentioned the Taylor injuries. We mentioned the Justin Reed injury. This wide receiving core is so banged up now that Andre Roberts was not only on the field, but getting targets at key times in the game yesterday at wide receiver. Text message, with all these wide receiver injuries, should the Texans be calling John Brown, Golden Tate, Alshon Jeffrey, someone? I need to go look and see if all three of those names are out on the open market right now. If those three are all out on the market, I would say yes, yes, and yes to any of those guys right now. And for those who don't know, Nico Collins and Danny Amendola left yesterday's game. Collins with a shoulder injury, Amendola with a hamstring injury. We should mention, too, Anthony Miller, I believe, is healthy again, but he was a healthy scratch yesterday.
Yeah.
So the solution at slot will likely be Anthony Miller getting his first action as a Houston Texan. But yeah, the texter's right. They need bodies at wide receiver. If this Nico Collins injury is serious, they need bodies at wide receiver for Thursday at this point.
I know John Brown, at least before last weekend, was a free agent, because I remember being curious about that.
Yep.
I don't know about the other guys, but or whether you're going to trade for somebody. I mean, is there somebody out there? Realistically, I think with where this team is right now, there might be a promising practice squad guy or a younger receiver out there that they feel like they might be able to pluck off a practice squad or trade a late round pick for.
Yep.
Hell, just put John Brown out there opposite of that might be just a funny. If you know what, just go in guns a blazing to Thursday night. Put as much speed on the field
hell
as
yeah.
possible. Torpedo, damn the torpedoes. Who cares if they're long-term solutions or not? Just put a whole bunch of speed out. I say bring John Brown to Houston. Yeah. Stat.
Yes, yes.
He can run here faster than most people could drive.
Seth Payne has spoken. Who will be the backup quarterback this week? Someone texts in.
Oh, gosh. Oh, it's Jeff Driscoll.
I fear that's it's who it Jeff is. Driscoll. Yep. Yep. Brace yourself. Especially if you're sitting in the lower bowl, you could get hit with a stray incompletion like many of us did during training camp this year.
Listen, I know there are a lot of people, and there's probably people tuning in today that maybe aren't like traditional sports radio listeners who are wondering, how come Deshaun Watson's not playing? I guess we have to try to recap that every week. Every time there's some new development with quarterbacks and explain why this situation isn't different enough from the last situation for Deshaun Watson to be playing all of a sudden, most likely.
Yeah, let's do that in this next segment. I've got 1, 2, 3. I got 6 Deshaun Watson questions that I think people are going to be asking today, and I want to bounce those off of Seth. So we're going to get you water cooler ready for Deshaun Watson questions at work today. That is next. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
It's a Reaction Monday from the Twin Peaks Studios on Sports Radio 610. Brought to you by Coors Light. Keeping Texas chill. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday presented by Coors Light. Texans lose yesterday 31-21 to the Cleveland Browns. In the process, they lose their starting quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, indefinitely with a hamstring injury. Hopefully we know more today. There's been an MRI, or there will be an MRI, and hopefully we know more. David Culley, by the way, meets with the media 10 a.m. this morning, so we'll see what kind of news the Texans head coach has. He'll have a media session today and tomorrow. Team is off on Wednesday, and then Carolina comes to town on Thursday. But everybody's got Deshaun Watson questions already. Now with the starting quarterback for the Texans out, Tyrod Taylor, and Deshaun Watson still occupying a roster spot, the questions about Deshaun Watson overfloweth. So let's get to these, Seth. I've got 6 questions. So I'm looking for you to be the voice of reason, or at least the voice of clarity on some of these Deshaun Watson questions.
You know what? I'll answer these like I'm a representative of the Texans, saying whatever the hell I want to say instead of being constrained by kind of what I have to say strategically and have you.
Yeah. By the
way, I'll pretend I'm like a loose-lipped drunken Texans employee.
Okay.
That's gonna tell you like it is.
Okay.
We'll see.
Be hilarious.
We'll see
if this landed you a job. This would be hilarious. But
you know that drunk Seth Payne's all right.
He's making a lot of sense.
I want to party with this cowboy.
That's right. By the way, we should mention David Culley was actually asked about Deshaun Watson towards the end of his post game press conference last night. His answer was, "Will we see Deshaun Watson on Thursday?" His answer was along the lines of, "Well, we'll see."
I'd love to give, you know what, honestly, you know, sometimes players will get out of a question by saying, hey, that's above my pay grade.
Yeah.
I'd love to call you to just start doing that. Because, it kind of is, right?
Totally
that
is
the deal. Yeah, like, hey,
totally
look,
is.
It's above my pay grade, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so the first question, and I think this is the most basic question people are going to ask. Deshaun Watson's on the roster. Why don't they ask Deshaun Watson to play this Thursday?
All right, here's the thing.
Listen,
listen. Just everybody, just listen. Okay?
No,
listen. Listen.
I'm listening, drunkie.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah. Don't tell anybody, but listen.
Yep.
We want to trade him. Like, make no bones about it. We want to trade him, and we don't want to do anything that's going to risk him getting injured or something before we trade him. It's not like teams out there are going to forget that he's really, really good at football. We want to trade him, and as Nick Casario has already said this year, it's more about process than results. That's a very diplomatic way of saying, hey, we're trying to be – this is what the Texans are trying to do. They're trying to be competitive. They're trying not to be complete and total jokes, but they're also planning for the future. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson is not in that future. He's currently being accused of sexual assault by 24 different women. He asked for a trade, and this is a big thing, too. When people say, well, why don't they just make him play? Deshaun's agent, David Mulligetta, had a client, Jalen Ramsey, who desperately wanted to get out of Jacksonville. All of a sudden, in the middle of his football season, Jalen Ramsey came down with a mysterious back ailment. Oh, man. Well, can't you disprove that by MRI? Nope. Backs are tricky. Hamstring strains are tricky. Like, various nondescript soft tissue injuries cannot be verified or denied or by MRI. So that's one more little wrinkle in here that I think that everybody's at just a stalemate right here. The Texans want to trade Deshaun Watson. That's the end of the story until we hear otherwise.
They want to trade him, and I think it's perfectly in play that even if there were an opportunity to play him, they don't want him to be their quarterback anymore. I think that's in play. They haven't said that. They haven't said anything about any of this stuff. They defer on a lot of this Deshaun stuff. But there's the answer to question number one from drunk executive Seth Payne. Question number two. Hey, isn't Deshaun, do you think he's impressed enough with the team to change his mind about wanting to play for the team if indeed the Texans were to want him to play for them?
I don't give a flying you know what Deshaun feels about this football team. I'm not actually drunk, Sean.
No, when you said I don't give it and the word began with an F, I was like, oh boy.
I stopped drinking tens of minutes ago, Sean. Right. I'm fine, okay? Sunday night stops at 4 a.m. IMO.
Attaboy.
I think the well has been poisoned. That's my read on it is that the guy wanted to trade and then he went ahead and got accused of sexual assault by 24 different women. Oh no, he's a victim. Okay, great. You know what? He got himself into a pickle and he's living his life in a really erratic way compared to what the public image of it had been before. And it was everything's a big old mess. Like he just I don't know how more to phrase it other than to say that look, there is so much stuff going on with Deshaun Watson right now. That honestly, I feel like he'd be crazy to want to come back and play for the Texans. I don't think he didn't. He asked for his release before he got accused by all these women. He's adamant that he's innocent, and that gets to play out in court eventually at some point. But there's just too much going on right now. So I don't think Deshaun's opinion about whether or not he wants to play right now matters anymore.
Okay, well, this probably plays into the next question. Do the Texans even want him to play for them again? I feel like we've answered that twice already, but it's worth asking again.
Well, but I do think that it is. I think sometimes when people start talking about the sexual assault allegations, they go into hyper-strategic mode, like, well, maybe the Texans are worried about the PR, or maybe the Texans are worried about this or that. It could just be that, hey, for one, not that it should matter whether it's a woman or a man, but Janice McNair is the owner of the Texans.
Yes.
Cal McNair operates as the owner, and however they have it structured in their family, I'm not quite sure. But they're basically, let's call them co-owners of the Texans. And ultimately, it comes down to whether Janice McNair even wants Deshaun Watson as the quarterback for the Texans or not, given the situation that he's in currently right now, and given the fact that he has asked for a trade and brought all this drama to the team.
Yep, no doubt. And the Texans, we should remind everybody, team, as far as thresholds for personal conduct go, Texans have among, if not the highest threshold for personal conduct in the league. All right, question number four. We're going through Deshaun Watson questions that are getting asked since Tyrod Taylor's injury yesterday. All right, question four. Would the league step in if the team, let's say the team announced today that Deshaun Watson is going to be our starting quarterback on Thursday night, would the league then step in and finally do what most thought they might do by now, and that's at least put Deshaun Watson on the commissioner's exempt list?
I would say I don't think so. I know that's a theory that's been floated out there by Florio and whomever. It would surprise me because they've never done that before. They've never waited to see whether the organization tips their hand or not. Let's remember, the Texans are Roger Goodell's employer. They're 1/32nd of Roger Goodell's employers. He's there to help the owners out. You know, first and foremost, really, it's for the good of the league, but the league is the owners. And then he's supposed to take care of the owners and watch out for their best interests. So I would be surprised if this was actually Roger Goodell playing some game of five-dimensional chess with the Texans. If that were the case, if the Texans maybe requested that Goodell stand back, then I don't see how this situation necessarily would change any of that. Then they're going to all of a sudden make Goodell look like the bad guy, I suppose. We get into too many different levels of conspiracy theory for that to happen. I think if Goodell wanted him on the commissioner's exempt list, he'd already be on the commissioner's exempt list.
I do too, and I think this as well. If Goodell were to do that, let's say the Texans announced that Deshaun Watson was starting, or let's say the Texans did find a trade for Deshaun Watson that they liked, traded him to a team that then presumably would immediately start Deshaun Watson. If Goodell were to step in at that point and put him on the commissioner's exempt list, I think it makes Goodell look weak. It makes Goodell look like the Texans were handling his business for him for the last several weeks, and now he's like, okay, well, now I'm being forced to decide something. So, yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that happens. I don't totally buy into that theory. You know what? I don't think it's going to matter. The Texans may trade Deshaun Watson. I don't think Deshaun Watson ever suits up for the Texans ever again.
And I think that's what somehow in all these answers, because there is always, with any Deshaun Watson question, there are like three legitimate answers at least that all cover, that try to encompass everything. One of the biggest things about all of this is that, because I see a lot of people say, well, it's not fair. Deshaun Watson shouldn't get rewarded by sitting out. Look, the Texans are watching out for numero uno, which is the Houston Texans right now. If they want to trade Deshaun Watson, the absolute best value they would probably get for him at this moment is next March. It's not right now because they don't know what draft compensation they're going to get. If the Dolphins, the Philadelphia Eagles, anybody, if anybody tries to trade for Deshaun Watson right now, the Texans have no clue what the draft picks will be next spring or what the position will be. Whereas if they wait until March, they know exactly where their draft slots will be for at least the 2022 picks. And as painful as it might be and as uncomfortable as if it feels like you're crossing your legs trying not to poop until you get to a clean rest area, that's where we are with Deshaun Watson right now. You're crossing your legs and trying not to poop.
Okay. Well, I think you just answered actually the question that we're getting more than anything else on Deshaun is the Dolphins were terrible yesterday. Tua got hurt again, so is Caserio's phone ringing from the Dolphins this morning about a Deshaun Watson trade?
It probably is. The Dolphins are going to try not to look desperate and all that. And I don't know. It's a rib injury, so it's not like that's a season-ending injury unless he punctured an.
They lost 35 to nothing yesterday.
Right. But it was a rib injury early in the game. I'm saying that Tua's not going to be out for the year with a rib injury.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So
yeah, but it's another injury with Tua.
It's another injury.
You know,
like, yeah, it's always something with him.
It's always something. Exactly.
Do you think they're like the Dolphins might be like, oh man, okay, so the Texans let Will Fuller go, and he didn't play for us yesterday.
Look.
Personal reasons or a personal situation, but man, with Fuller, it's another one of those things where I wish him well and I hope it's nothing serious or awful or whatever, but it's yet another reason that Will Fuller, whether it's injury, personal issues, or PED suspension, just misses lots and lots of football games.
Yeah.
They might be like, well, gosh, when the Texans let go of somebody, maybe there's something to that. I don't know.
Maybe. And you got Zach Cunningham with his whatever's getting him suspended for a quarter. It's a lot of drama. All right, last one, and this is more of a functional football question than it is a Deshaun Watson drama question. This is actually Landry Locker, I believe, tweeted this yesterday. I'll condense it here just to make it simple. Does the offense seem to line up quicker with Taylor at quarterback? Does it look like a better operation offensively with Tyrod Taylor under center for this team, Seth?
I do think that with a full offseason and maybe under the guidance of David Culley, Tim Kelly is able to operate with a whole lot less of the BS and extracurriculars that perhaps may have come with working with Bill O'Brien. You know, and he had 12 games without Bill O'Brien last year. I would argue that some elements of the play calling got better as the season went along, as Tim Kelly kind of came into his own. But when it comes to just getting up to the line quicker, it's people would be shocked at how often in football, how frustrated you are on the field because you can't get a damn play in through your headset. And you see it, you know, when you see the quarterback doing the little wind the clock motion, it is earphones telling the coordinator to get something in.
Hurry up.
A lot of times it's those damn guys are debating with themselves, having a damn esoteric conversation about what the perfect play is. They become like Will Ferrell and not Tina Fey. Who was it? Will Ferrell and Sherry. What's her name? Is it Sherry O'Terry? The cheerleaders on Saturday Night Live.
Oh yeah,
they wanted
the perfect
cheer.
Yeah.
You know, it always sucked. They wanted so hard to have the perfect cheer. That's what happens when you try to have the perfect play in football. You're on a time clock. You got to just get the damn play call in and then assess the situation. I feel like Kelly's operation is just a little bit smoother this year.
Yeah, no doubt. I feel the same way. Now, hopefully, it's smooth on Thursday with Davis Mills under center.
So the question would be, okay, is that a Tyrod Taylor is that also a Tyrod Taylor versus a Deshaun Watson thing? I think that you probably would have seen the same thing with Deshaun Watson this year too. I think Kelly, I think Kelly learned a ton from Bill O'Brien. I'm not sitting here trying to pile on Bill O'Brien or anything. I think he learned a ton. I mean, he learned basically everything from Bill O'Brien. But I do think there was a point perhaps with those two where Bill O'Brien might have been stymieing Tim Kelly's development just because of the relationship. That's why guys got to go elsewhere sometimes. You know, Kyle Shanahan couldn't stick with his father his entire career. It would have been dysfunctional. He had to go out and work with some other people before he went back and worked with his dad.
Speaking of Tyrod Taylor, we have a text message here. Bad luck for Tyrod again. Another chance to take over a team and another circumstance that takes him off the field. We should recap. I mean, for those who aren't familiar with Tyrod Taylor's background, he was the starter in Cleveland in Baker Mayfield's rookie year in 2018, gets knocked out early in the season with a concussion. Baker Mayfield takes over. The rest is history. He goes to the Chargers the next year, sits behind Phillip Rivers for a year, and then in 2020, he's set to start while they groom Justin Herbert to be the eventual starter. Basically gets stabbed in the lung with a painkiller shot by a team physician after 1 week for a rib injury. Justin Herbert takes over, wins the rookie of the year. The rest is history. Tyrod Taylor comes here. And Seth, I would say the biggest difference with this one is that, one, I think once he gets healthy again, as long as it's not a serious hamstring injury, and it didn't look serious, like he wasn't helped off the field, like it looked tweaked for sure, but I think once he's healthy, he's going to come back and play, unlike those other two times. I think he's going to come back and play. The other difference is, and I know it's only six quarters, but Tyrod Taylor was playing at an elite level for those six quarters. Like, he looked really, really comfortable in this offense.
He really did. And look, Tyrod Taylor has played good football before in the league. And there's always, with any quarterback, a question as to, you know, how much his supporting cast helped or hurt him. He certainly looks like he's developed a good relationship with Brandon Cooks. I felt bad for Brandon Cooks on a couple of those misfires from Davis Mills where they clearly weren't on the same page. Because Cooks is a hard one. I don't like to read body language too much because Cooks kind of always has a disgusted look on his face. It looked a little bit extra disgusted on a couple of those plays. Hey, I'm on board with what the Texans are trying to do right now. I fought it and fought it and fought it. But this, whether you want to call it tanking with dignity or staying competitive while thinking about the long term, resetting the roster, whatever it might be, I know that at some point they've got multiple picks coming back from Deshaun Watson. That this is a different situation with the Texans where, unlike the Browns, you don't have to be winless for an entire year, only win one game in 2 years to get high draft picks or multiple first-round picks. The Texans are likely going to get those from the trade of Deshaun Watson. So you have the benefit of, and it's weird, but if you want to talk about, you know, looking at your curses as blessings, the Deshaun Watson situation does allow you to do kind of a modified tank and still try to instill some kind of culture instead of like, frankly, look, the Browns have a winning culture. I don't know. I watched them over the first couple weeks and they do a lot of stupid stuff, man. Look, that rookie Gator arming that ball before Justin Reed snatched his interception there. Schwartz, that was humiliating. Yeah. I don't know how Schwartz lives with himself. I don't know, honestly. Can you imagine being that kid and then having to go and try to sleep last night, knowing that was captured on film?
Right.
Like, you just, it's not like he even gator armed it. He stopped his route and stared at Justin Reed.
Well, Archuleta was quick, former safety, obviously, was quick to point that out. Like, it was almost like Archuleta was like Nelson on The Simpsons, like, ha! You look at him,
hey, by the way,
arm it. Yeah.
Lovie, he's like, yeah, that's what you get. By the way, credit to Lovie Smith on that play, and I sent this to you last night. They dropped a nose tackle off into coverage. I couldn't see a defensive lineman into coverage. I didn't see which one it was. But when you do that, especially versus a younger quarterback like Baker Mayfield, who still isn't like Einstein when it comes to deciphering defenses, you drop that nose tackle off into coverage, it allows you to really flood the zones even deeper. And I think Reed was able to be a lot more aggressive on that than Mayfield anticipated, just because of the coverage, because they had eight in coverage like Lovie Smith had drawn up.
Can I just say I love watching defensive linemen backpedal into coverage. No offense, Seth, as a former defensive lineman. It's fun watching the big heavy guys backpedal into coverage in the short zone.
These guys do a good job of it. They actually turn their hips and flip their hips when they get back there and everything. All you are is a, when you do it as a player, I remember stressing about it all week long because you're like, when you get back there, it's one thing to watch it on film, but when you get back there and you got slot receivers crossing your face and everything, yeah. It looks like tracer bullets. Yeah. You're just like, what the hell's going on? It feels like your first day in the platoon in NAM or something. You just don't know what the hell's going on. And then you realize, now that I watch it on film, I was like, oh, they just want a big fat guy right there. It's a fat goalie that just, it's all they want is the quarterback to be able to see color.
Yeah.
And realize that, okay, usually the quarterback doesn't even realize it's a defensive lineman. He just sees color and thinks, okay, that crossing route's not open. I'm going to push it deep.
Yeah.
Should be wide open. Ah, son of it.
Yeah,
it messes their math up just a little bit.
You're just like the big, huge clown in the middle of a hole on a mini golf course. Like, okay, well, I guess I need to go around the left or around to the right.
There's a lot, you know, that's the problem with counting, with coverage. There's a lot of counting involved. Yeah. And people would, if you don't know how pass coverage works, there's way more counting, way more math than you think, and it's annoying when you're a big guy that doesn't do it all the time.
Tomorrow is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. We're giving away a pair of Thursday Night Football tickets to the Texans and the Panthers every hour tomorrow. Listen for the cue to call between 45 after and the top of the hour. All day long, be caller number 5, win a pair of tickets. Plus, you'll be instantly qualified to be upgraded to the front row seats in the bullpen. You choose your chance to win all day long tomorrow between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. exclusively on a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Be listening all day tomorrow. It's going to be fun. Tickets are still available, if you like, at HoustonTexans.com/tickets. So we talked about Tyrod Taylor. What was the assessment of Davis Mills' debut, and what do we think about him heading into Thursday? That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.